Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to have those of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? Come on, let's hear it for them. And if you're online with us right now, make sure you say hi in the chat. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. So there's been a question circulating out there. Now, you may not have seen it all over social media, but you can find it there. But you hear it from time to time. And you really heard this question during COVID. Lots of people were asking it. And it goes like this. Will I have enough toilet paper? That was a question. No, I'm just kidding. There's a much bigger question. There's a much larger question. It's a question that circulates around what's happening in the world and where is the world heading? And the question goes like this. Is this the end? I mean, almost anybody you speak with today, regardless of what their spirituality may be, almost anyone you speak with today will say, well, yeah, I mean, it's got to end sometime. I mean, it's not going to last forever. I mean, they'll give you whatever reason they want to give you, but nobody believes this place is going to last forever, so it's got to end sometime. But sometimes, with events like a worldwide pandemic that affects everyone, like when a stock market crash that affects the world, when there's a huge natural disaster, people start thinking, what is really going on? And they start thinking about this question a little more. And if there is an end, what does that end look like? How's it going to all play out? Will I have enough toilet paper, right? These kinds of things. So people want to know, what does the end game look like? And for those who are followers of Jesus, we have the same question, but we might ask it in a different way. Followers of Jesus tend to ask the question, Pastor Kevin, are we living in the end times? Or a similar question, when is Jesus going to come back again? I mean, with everything happening in the world, are we getting close to the end? Great question. Are we getting close to the end? And you know what? You got to come back next week to hear the answer. I'm just playing. Now, what I want to do today is I want to begin a conversation about it. And so for the next 4 weeks, we are going to be having here on the weekend a collection of talks about this subject because I think it's important that we're informed about this. See, what happens to some of you, what happens to me, is anytime I'm in a group of people that are not like churchgoers and there's any question that comes up at all that has to do anything like with God or spirituality or anything, who do they look to? They look to the person who's the most spiritual person in the room. They look to you. You go to church, Pepe, what do you think? So I want you to be informed about this a little bit so you may have an answer and about what's happening. And so, you know, there have been a lot of people who have attempted to predict the end of the world. One of the most recent ones that some of you probably may recall is the Mayan calendar. That just a few years ago, the Mayan calendar was this big deal, and the Mayan calendar was coming to an end, like the Mayan calendar ended, and people thought when the Mayan calendar ended, the world was going to end. Anybody remember what year that was? 2012. Yes, you're right. 2012 was the year. Everybody thought we were going to be gone in 2012. World's done in 2012. December 21st, 2012. And before that, you might remember that when we went from 1999 to the year 2000, oh, that was a big deal. Anybody remember what that was called? Good, Y2K, right? And everybody was thinking, the question was, can electronics keep up? Because if the grid goes down, we all go down. And nobody knew for sure. There was like this big deal. And I clearly remember, December 21st, 1999, watching the big ball drop on TV, and the countdown before the new year, right? 10, 9, 8, and the year hit midnight, and I'm looking all over the house to make sure electricity's still on. And it's not just me, it's everybody. It was a big deal. Y2K was a big deal. I mean, I remember, I was 13 years old then, but I remember that. And there have been lots of people. You might remember this guy. Some of you might know this guy, Nostradamus. Anybody? Nostradamus, right? The French astrologer. He lived in the 1500s. He made all kinds of predictions about all kinds of things, and some of his predictions have actually kind of come true. So people are looking to him to like, what does he think? And my own father, I love my dad. My dad was my hero. My dad, I miss my dad. He's been with Jesus now for about 10 years. But my dad, I wouldn't be on the stage today without my dad. He taught me faith. He taught me the Bible. He taught me how to believe in God. But my dad was one of these people who believed that Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. He really believed it with everything in him. My dad, he invested nothing in the stock market because he didn't need to. Jesus was coming back. And so I kind of grew up with that. I mean, if you grew up in that kind of, I grew up with that, like thinking that, wow, the world's going to end soon, and Jesus is going to come back soon. And so I grew up with that. And then I went off to college with this same kind of mindset growing up in the home. And when I went off to college and back in the 80s, and I went off to college and I took a class in college called Visions and the Future, which was a class on the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, about end times. And I took a class, and with growing up with my dad and the class, and then I found a book, which I was fascinated by. A book by an author named Hal Lindsey. Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth back in the 70s and 80s. This book, I'm telling you, captivated me, because for the first time, I found a book where this guy had it all laid out. Like, this was going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And he said it's all going to begin with the reestablishment of Israel as a nation in 1948. That happened. He said when that happened, that triggered a series of events. And this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And I was fascinated. And he really believed that Jesus was going to come back during the 80s. Sometime in the 80s, Jesus was going to come back. So guess what? The 80s came and went. Except for the mullet. Some people are trying to bring that back. But besides that, the 90s came and went. Y2K came and went. Here we are in 2022, and the world hasn't ended yet. We're still here. Now, let me make a very bold prediction here today regarding when the world is going to end. Here's my prediction. It is not going to end in 2022, and is not going to end in the first part of 2023, because Aaron Rodgers still has to get another Super Bowl ring. Okay, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay, all right. Now look, I realize that even talking about this a little bit can bring you some anxiety. Like, these world events, these, some would say, cataclysmic events that might happen at the end, you get a little anxiety. But can I just tell you that this series is not designed to bring you anxiety. This series is designed to give you hope that there is a God who loves you, who sees you, and who makes this promise. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens in the world, Jesus said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Come on, somebody. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the promise we have. That's the promise we have. No matter what the end looks like, no matter how it plays out, he promises that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 38. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I did some extensive work this week on that word nothing. You know what that word nothing means? Oh, you guys are sharp, yes. Nothing. Nothing. Nada. Nothing will be able to separate us. So, let's talk about this today, because I want to give you some hope today. I want to give you some hope in this, that Jesus is coming back again. Now, Jesus did come already once, the first time, right? That's what we celebrated Christmas. Jesus coming at Christmas, we celebrate that. And his first coming at Christmas changed everything. Changed everything. Billions of people's lives have been changed because Jesus came the first time. My life has been changed. Many of your lives has been changed because now we get to experience a different way of living. We get to be forgiven. We get to be set free. We get the power and the presence of Jesus Christ living in us, the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. My life is different. Many of your life is different. I'm just curious, how many of you would say that there's at least one thing in your life that has changed because of Jesus Christ being in your life? Can I see your hands? Come on. Let me see. Put them all up over this place. Yeah. Look at all these hands up. If you're online with us right now, just put that's me in the chat. That's me. Because our lives have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. So many of us have been changed by Jesus Christ. And so we know, and then so after Jesus, some of you know the story. Jesus came here to planet Earth. He was here for 33 years. He died on a cross, was buried, rose from the dead. But then after that, a few days after that, a couple weeks after that, he actually ascended. He ascended, the Bible says, into heaven. He ascended to heaven. And before he went to heaven, he made a promise. I am coming back. That's his promise. I'm coming back. So let's talk a little bit more about these kind of end game stuff today. So I'd love for you to do something with me as we can start here today. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. Here's how you locate the message notes. They're on a Miami Vineyard app. So if you have the app already downloaded, you can open it right now. It'd be a great time. If you haven't yet downloaded the app, let me help you how to download the app. In the seat back in front of you, there's a card that looks like this. You can simply scan the QR code, and the app will come right up. Or if you have your, you can go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. You can find our app. It's a free download. Tap on this weekend, tap on message notes, and then the app will be right there. So what I want to do is I want to give you some hope today. And as I've been mentioning, that different people have thought Jesus was coming back soon. Okay? The same thing happened back in Jesus' day. They thought people living in Jesus' day, after Jesus went back to heaven, everybody back in that day thought, when he said he's coming back, they thought it was immediate. They didn't think he's coming back like 100 years from now. No. They thought he was coming back like tomorrow, or like maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. But nobody ever thought back in Jesus' day that we'd still be on planet Earth right now. Nobody ever thought that. And so they thought he's coming back like right away. And so some of the relatives started dying and they were freaking out. Like Jesus hadn't come back yet. What's going to happen to my dead relatives? They're freaking out. And so this guy, Paul, who we know Paul because Paul wrote most of the second half of our Bibles. He's a leader in the first church. And Paul wrote them a letter, an email, but a letter back in the day, to give them some hope. Look what he says on your outlines. Opening verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He says, brothers and sisters, he's speaking to them about this topic. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. He's giving them hope. He's giving them hope. And then he goes on, and Paul says, look, here's what's going to happen. He says, he breaks it down. He says, look, here's what's going to happen at the end. And so we're reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul writes this, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are all still alive and are at our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. There is hope. There is hope. Now, I want to talk more about this today, about this passage, and I want to break it down for us a little bit today, what this all means. So if you got those message notes, I'm going to give you a couple things today that why we, as followers of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's why you should have tremendous hope. No matter what's going to happen at the end, here's the first reason. Number one, because Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. In fact, notice what Jesus said himself. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be where I am. He says, I'm going to come back. I'm coming back. To quote that great theologian, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. He's coming back. In the early church, back in the early church, they were so excited about this. They had a greeting they would say to each other. Now, you know, for us here, you know, today, you know, our greetings are, hey, dude, what's up? What's happening? You know, oye, mi socio, como anda? Que bola? You know, things like that. But But back in the day, they had a greeting when a Christian would meet another Christian back in the day. They had a greeting, they would say. They would give each other a hug. They would handshake, a hug, or whatever. And they would say this word. They would say, Maranatha. That's the greeting, Maranatha, to each other. Maranatha meant Jesus coming back. Our Lord is returning. They were excited about it. They were excited about that. Listen, he's coming back. He's coming back. And because there was a deep sense of anticipation, and because he's coming back, everything's going to be okay because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes back the second time, he is setting everything wrong to be right. Everything. Everything that's upside down, he's going to make it right side up. Everything, every wrong will be made right when Jesus comes back again the second time. So they encourage each other with this. And so lots and lots of people were looking forward to this. And the Bible says clear to us, we should be looking forward to it. But if I can be real honest with you, there was a time when I wasn't really looking forward to his return. You remember in the 80s, when I was studying in college, I thought he was coming back like right away. And so I was actually praying against the return of Christ. Like, Jesus, don't come back yet. Like, because I had just graduated college and I was engaged to this beautiful young woman named Debbie. And I'm anticipating our whole life together. I'm anticipating maybe a couple of kids. I mean, I never dreamed you'd have five, but you know, a couple of kids. And I was dreaming about living together in Miami. And Jesus, you can't come back yet. I haven't yet experienced Fritanga. You can't come back yet. I'm just saying you can't come back yet. And I'm honest, this is a true story. I'm confessing to you. I was actually praying, God, don't come back yet. I've got my whole life in front of me. Don't come back yet. But he says, look, we should be looking forward to this no matter when it happens. We should be looking forward to this. Notice it says in verse 14, it says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Now, what does the word mean, fallen asleep? Those who what? Yeah, those who have died. It's not talking about the guy in the back row is asleep right now. He's talking about those who have died. He says, when Jesus comes back again, it's going to be with a loud voice and a shout and trumpets. It's not going to be in secret. When he came the first time at Christmas, it was in secret. Only a handful of people knew that Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. Only a handful. First time. But when he comes back this next time, everybody's going to know. It's going to be, everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know. Because the greatest victory in the history of the world demands the greatest shout from God. And that's going to be the greatest victory in the history of the world when Jesus comes back again. So he's coming back. He's coming back. And he's going to take those of us who are followers of Jesus, who want to follow Jesus, who are followers of Jesus, he's going to take us back to be with him one day. So we talked about those who died, but what about those, when he comes back, what about those who are living when he returns? What happens to them? Okay, look what it says in verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, let me just throw something out there a little bit. If you have come from a church background at all, maybe another church background, or if you've read the Bible at all, or if you've been influenced at all by some speakers and these kinds of things, you've probably heard some end times discussions someplace, sometime. There's a word that gets tossed out a lot. It's the word rapture. All right, you might have heard of the word rapture. The rapture simply means that those who are living will be caught up in the air with Jesus, to meet Jesus. It's the rapture. But if you've heard anything about this, listen, all kinds of people have spoken about this. All kinds of people have written about this. All kinds of people have made proclamations about this, that it's going to happen like this, and it's going to happen then, it's going to happen this, it's going to happen then. And there's all kinds of interpretations about the rapture. Some of you might have seen movies about it and about end times. And look, it's always, no, movies are Hollywood, and there's some truth in that, but there's also a lot of Hollywood in that. So honestly, I'm not going to give you all the details about what the rapture is going to look like, because frankly, no one knows for sure. The Bible says those of us who are living will be caught up together with him in the air. I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to rise up like helium balloons? I don't know, sounds kind of fun. Are we going to be like that? We're going to be like I don't know. Are we going to leave our clothes behind and all go up naked? I don't know. People have written that. They've absolutely written that. I mean, it's crazy stuff. I don't know. But what I do want to address is I want to address the timing of the rapture. Because, again, if you're from a church background at all, you've probably heard some things. So just let you know, very simply, people have discussed the timing of the rapture. Like, when's the rapture going to happen? So the Bible speaks about a period of time called the Great Tribulation. It speaks about this, that for 7 years, again, we don't know if the 7 years are literal 7 years or if they're a figurative 7 years. No one knows for sure. But the Bible speaks about a time, a difficult time, called the Great Tribulation. And so people have, when is the rapture going to happen? Is it going to happen? Is the rapture, like those who follow Christ, is it going to happen before the tribulation? They call that pre-tribulation. Is it going to happen? Some say it's going to happen halfway through the tribulation, and they all got Bible verses to back all this up. So some say before the tribulation, pre-trib. Some say during the tribulation, mid-tribulation. Some say after the tribulation, post-trib. So you've got pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Okay, let me give you a fourth option. Pan-trib. You go, what? Pan-trib. Yeah, that means we're just going to wait and see how it all pans out. Pan-trib. Which one do I subscribe to? Fourth one? I don't know. Theologians have argued about this for 2,000 years. They can prove it's going to be pre. They can prove it's going to be mid. They can prove it's going to be post. Here's what I know. No matter how it goes down, if we're a follower of Jesus, we're going to go to be with him. That's what I know. And that's what you should know. Because, it doesn't matter what we believe. It's going to happen how it's going to happen. You got to know that. But wait, I've studied this for my whole life. It can't happen like this. It's going to happen how it's going to happen. And if we're followers of Jesus, we're going to be with him forever. That we got to know. That's the hope that we have. So we're going to be with him one day together in heaven. So that's number two. So the first one, what's the hope we have as Christians? Jesus is coming again. It's tremendous hope. He's coming again. He's going to set everything right. He's coming again. Here's the second thing if you're taking notes. Followers of Jesus will be with him forever. That's you got to know. We'll be with him forever. And there's incredible reunion. Just last week, I performed a celebration of life service for a friend who passed. And there was a couple hundred people at this service. And it's always a sad time when you do a celebration of life service. But what makes it have hope is when the person is a follower of Jesus. And this person was. And I said to the couple hundred people in attendance, I said, look, if you know Jesus, you will see this person again. Those are incredibly hopeful and reassuring in moments like that, that as followers of Jesus, we will be with God forever. Notice again what it says in verses 17 and 18. After that, after the dead rise, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, what? Encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. We will be with the Lord forever. Now think about this for just a moment. Just think about this. With the Lord forever. No more COVID. No more sickness. No more dolphin disappointment. Okay, no more of that. Hey, the Dolphins won last week. For the 10 Dolphin fans in the house, yeah, they won last week. They play again today. How many people think they're going to win today? A resounding affirmation. Yes, you can just hear that. So, look, no more cancer. No more anxiety, no more stress, no more injustice, no more racism, no more jealousy, no more loneliness, no more divorce, no more abandonment, no more selfishness, no more greed. I mean, if you just start thinking about this, it's no wonder the first century church would greet one another with Maranatha, he's coming back again. Because when he comes back again, it's going to be awesome. There's no words you can give to what it's going to be like when he comes back again, establishes heaven, a new earth. There's no words. We'll talk more about that next week. So what should we do, right? So here we are with this information. What should we do if we're living in the end times? And by the way, we are living in the end times. Ever since Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven in the year 33, every year since the year 33 to now has been the end times. We are living in the end times. Now, how close are we to the end? I don't know. I mean, lots of people have written about it. Lots of people will tell you they think you know, but all these dates have come and passed. All these dates have come and gone. Listen, here's the reality. Not even Jesus knows. Only the Father in heaven knows. So if anybody claims they know, they don't know nothing. They don't know. No one knows. Not even Jesus knows. But I can tell you this. We are closer today than we were yesterday. Oh, I'm brilliant. Figured that out. Yeah. So here's a question. What's the application of all of this? Because we still got to pay the bills. We still got kids that are sick. We still got all these activities. What do we do with all this stuff? So let me close with another little passage that this same guy Paul wrote to another church about the same subject. Because back in the day, everybody's talking about, man, when is Jesus coming back? I thought he was coming back like next week, and it's been years. Is he going to come back? I can't believe he hasn't come back yet. Because like I said, back in Jesus' day, everybody thought he was coming back right away. And he hasn't come back yet a second time. And they're starting to freak out. Like, what's happening? I don't get it. What's happening? Okay, so Paul writes a letter to another church who's freaking out. And look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says this. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now pause there for just a moment. We will all be changed. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We will all be changed. Now look, I love people. I do. I love people. I love people. I just was kind of born that way. I'm in the people business. I love people. People give me energy. I love being around people. But can I just say, there are some people. Don't you have some people like that in your life? They kind of annoy you a little bit. They just kind of drive you crazy. So as I think about this passage, like, and many of the people I know are followers of Jesus. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. I've got some of these followers of Jesus who drive me crazy. And we're going to spend forever with these people. I'm going, I don't know, not so much. So, listen. There are some people that drive us crazy, right? Let me just, by show of hands. How many of you know somebody that drive you crazy? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, don't be shy. Let me see your hands. Okay, look, if your hand's not up, you're that one. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Look. Listen, we know people like that. We love them. We know people like that. But they're going to be in heaven with people like you and me. But this verse says, we will all be changed. Thank you, Jesus. We will all be changed. I'm going to be changed, which is a good thing. You're going to be changed, which is a better thing. Okay, we're all going to be changed. I love that verse. Now the Bible says, look, in the twinkling of an eye, look, when Jesus comes back, it's not going to take a lifetime for us to change like it does now. We're all going to be changed like this. Listen, folks, that is a good thing. That is a great thing. We're all going to be changed. We're going to be different. We're going to get our heavenly bodies. We're going to be different, which is a great thing. We're all going to be changed. So let's go on. Look what he says in the rest of this passage. So here, Paul again is writing about the end game, right? Here he says, so in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. So what's he saying? He's saying that somehow we're going to get a new body. We're going to have a new body in heaven. Aren't you glad? Some of you are going, thank you, Jesus. No more disease, no more diabetes, no more all these things that we fight, that we carry around, no more allergies, no more any of this stuff. We're going to get a new body in heaven. Now, what's a body going to look like? I don't know. But I do know when Jesus talked about this, Jesus said, look, he said, here's a problem. I'm just paraphrasing Jesus, right? So Jesus going, oyeme, mira. Jesus saying, look, here's your problem. He says, you're thinking about heaven as you think about stuff here on earth. And in heaven is going to be different than it is on earth. So how? I don't know. We'll kind of look at that a little bit, but it's going to be different. So he goes, look, you're going to get the imperishable with the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that has been written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing. He said, what should we be doing? He's saying, so, right? Here's the application. He says, look, as we're living in the last days, and we know these are the last days. It could be 10,000 more years. I don't know, but since Jesus sent, it's been the last days. So what should we do? Should we dig a bunker? Stockpile food and weapons? So if things get bad and someone comes into the house, we can shoot him in the name of Jesus? No. But there are some people right now who say we should be digging bunkers, stockpile weapons, and get ready for whatever comes. That's not what Jesus ever said. Jesus said, what should we be doing? You know what we should be doing? We should be doing the exact same things that Jesus did when he was here. You know, some of us know, you know the saying WWJD? What would Jesus do? Okay, let me spin a little bit. How about WDJD? What did Jesus do? Because we should be doing what Jesus did. You know what Jesus did? Here, you know what we should be doing in the last days? Live your calling. Live your calling. Be who God called you to be. Don't hide out someplace. Don't hole up someplace. Be who God called you to be. Be a light. Be a light. Be a light. Let your light shine. Earlier, we raised hands about, did Jesus touch your life in any way? Many of you, hundreds of you, raised your hands. Okay. Listen, people, your friends are looking for something. They're looking. The same way that Jesus Christ changed your life, he wants to change their life too. Things like COVID go down and everybody's freaking out. The whole world is scared. You're not. You're a little different. And your friends are going to ask, hey, dude, what's up? What's up with you? You're going, the difference is Jesus Christ. I know him, and I know he loves me, and I know he's going to be with me, and there's nothing he's going to take that away. And no matter what happens in this world, he's going to take me to be in one day in heaven. I know that. That's different about us. So look, we should be different. Not weird, but different. Stop being weird. But there should be something different about those of us who follow Jesus. There should be something different. There is a hope we have that the rest of the world doesn't have, but we do because we follow Jesus. There is a hope he's coming back again. There is a hope that he's taking us to be with him one day forever in heaven. There is a hope. Live the hope we have. 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 So let me wrap up with this. If we knew, I'm just throwing it out there, if we knew that Jesus was returning 1 month from today, October, 18th today, if we knew he was coming back 1 month from today, October 18th, here's a question. If you knew that, would you live your life any differently today? Because if you would, that's how you should be living right now. Right now. Now look, there's a lot more we're going to talk about in the next 3 weeks together in this conversation. So if you got friends who are asking about this, or you know they're curious about this, because really most people are curious about this, bring them with you next weekend. Invite them to join you online next weekend, because we're going to part two is next weekend as we continue to explore this topic together. Not to scare you. No. To bring you life and to bring you hope. Because as followers of Jesus, we have every reason to have hope. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come. Visit us, God, with your power and with your presence, God, right now here in this room. For those of you at home, if you can bow your heads and close your eyes to the blackout distractions, if you're able to do that at home and here in this room, because God is here. God's here. God's here. We thank you, God, for the hope we have in you. That as we looked at these topics today, God, the promises you make to us, that you will never leave us and never forsake us, that nothing can ever separate us from you and your love. Nothing. Nothing that happened in the past, nothing that happened in the future, nothing that happens on this planet, nothing that happens outside this planet, nothing can ever separate us from your love. So God, we say to you today that we want to live these lives full of faith and full of life. And God, we want our light to shine. We want to live our lives, God, that way. Live our lives that way. God, we are created to live our lives that way. God, we want to live our lives that way. And look, can I just say, if you're in the room today, if you're joining us online right now, and look, if you don't know for sure when Jesus comes back that you're gonna be with him. If there's never been a moment in your life where you said, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to know that I'm your follower. I want to follow you. Then would you, whether you're in the room or at home with us right now, just follow me with a simple prayer. Don't got to pray it out loud, but just inside, say, Jesus, today I believe you are real. Jesus, today I want that life change that all these people lifted their hands earlier and said that they experienced. I want that. I want that life change. Jesus, today I believe in you. And Jesus, today, in the best way I know how, I say yes to you. I open my life to you. And Jesus, today, I choose to follow you. That's how it all starts for every one of us. That's how it all starts, with a simple prayer just like that. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives today. I thank you for the hope we have. I thank you, God, for the hope we have. And God, I pray that we would be the hope. That people need hope. That we would be hope dealers. And God, that we would give this hope away. We would give you, Jesus, away. That we would be your hands. That we would be your feet. That we would be your voices. Thank you, God, for the hope we have in you. And I pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.